The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to this Christmas pre-recorded segment. Now, obviously, I am joined today by Brother Stelios.
Hello, Brother Luca. Winter has come at last.
It has indeed. There has been a freeze.
Tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming. We're going to have a cold pill for today.
Well, we're going to have a white pill.
Yeah, but it's going to be a cold one.
It'll be a cold pill, but yeah. but a healthy pill nonetheless. So obviously, because we're pre-recording this, Stelios and I are not fortune tellers. We don't know what political events are going to be happening in December. So we just wanted to give you actually some content that was a bit evergreen, a bit wholesome, and also, what's more, something that you can take with you and, you know, use for some practical application coming into 2026 as well.
And it's evergreen in a metaphorical as well as a literal sense, because yes, we are going to talk about a very green land.
We are. We're going to talk about the magic of Britain, yeah, aren't we? And how there are just so many places that, you know, because you and I, we are great sages. We are wonderful. We are experienced travellers. You know, we've seen a few things around this pleasant
island. We travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
And so we're just going to talk about some of the our favourite places that we found on those travels as well. I mean, perhaps many of them you'll have heard of, some you won't have done, but we thought that they were all great recommendations, wonderful things to do with your friends, with your family next year, so you can keep discovering so much of this country and why it's worthy of your love.
Absolutely, and I want to say that very often when I meet people who tell me that they're very much online and they're very annoyed at what they're seeing, I'm telling them always take advantage of your weekends.
Yes.
Go somewhere else. And I will say from my experience, because I do walk the earth quite often, the world I'm experiencing while traveling and during the weekends has very frequently almost nothing to do with the world we are frequently reporting about. Mm. It's a different planet. It's very different, and this is something that hasn't been taken from us, from you, however you want to call it. It's still alive.
Yeah.
And it's a very good thing for people to see it, because most of the country is like this.
Mm. Yeah, there are still many wonderful, wonderful places. Yes, many of them have been touched or are beginning to be touched by many of the problems that we here at Loadseaters report on, of course. But nonetheless, they're still wonderful in their own right. And so let's begin talking about them, shall we? So I've front-loaded my suggestions, and then we'll discuss with Brother Stelios about his. But let's start with Lincoln, shall we? Because that's where this is. Now, this is a photo that I took back in March, and this is taken from the South Common of Lincoln as well. So it's very, very raised as a hill going over into the horizon. And as you can see there, wonderful view of the entire city of Lincoln, of course, with Lincoln Cathedral, one of the great cathedrals of England, just standing very proudly there on top of the hill. And what's more as well, it used to be taller. Because actually, you can see in the central part as well, there used to be a colossal spire, okay, that was on the top of that cathedral, and it blew off in a storm back in 1547, something like that. But when that spire was atop of the cathedral, it was the tallest man-made building in the world at the time. And so, unfortunately, the weather took that title from it. But it is still an absolutely glorious spectacle. And what's more as well, it's been recently renovated, restored on the outside. It looks wonderful. It looks absolutely wonderful. But what's more as well, another good thing to say about Lincoln as well is that it's still got some advantageous demographics, shall we say. It's beginning to feel the brunt of it, but still, there are many places where you can go there that are very wholesome. And I will say as well that if you haven't been to Lincoln, there is a particular street going up to the cathedral that you can see is obviously raised up on the hill. That entire road where you walk up to the square, and at the square you've got, on the left you've got Lincoln Castle, and on the right you've got Lincoln Cathedral. And not only that, I mean, so it's a perfect square, you know, full of Georgian houses and pubs on every corner, cafes, wonderful medieval architecture. But also, what's more as well, and this is such an important point, every single shop on that hill is of the highest standard, right? It is just a good quality small business.
Yeah.
Right, it's not, they're not part of some larger chain of shops or anything. No, they're all just small shopkeepers who have, you know, Victorian sweet shops, aircraft models, pie and mash shops, you know, these sorts of things. And they're so individual, they're so special to that particular street. There's also one particular one which I couldn't possibly do without mentioning, which is that there's an old Imperial tea shop.
Okay.
Which has got, I don't know, 200 different types of tea on it. I've had two of them because I'm a very samey person. I just like what I like. But it's wonderful. Have you ever been to Lincoln?
I haven't been to Lincoln. And it seems wonderful. And one thing I will say is that I see that this is a picture taken in March, right? Is it, seems like mid-March?
Yes.
Yeah, 20 of March. One thing that I notice in the land is that right towards the middle of April, and especially in May, the flowers bloom and the trees have, you know, you can see the leaves, and it's a totally different country as well.
Yes.
You literally feel like you're in another planet.
Mm.
So I want also to see at some point a picture of Lincoln. You know, May, June, July, somewhere there.
Well,
I'll have to take it and show me.
I'll have to go back and do my duty and just suffer a few days in Lincoln, won't I, to take that picture sometime next year. But as I say, Lincoln, I think more than any other city that I've been to personally, I just love it intensely. Especially being, it's a strange one, you know, because being from Scunthorpe myself, which is a town just to the north of Lincoln, I spent very little time in Lincoln growing up. And it's not really until my more recent years that I really began to appreciate this wonderful place that I had on my doorstep. And so, yes, the castle, oh, sorry, couldn't go without mentioning, the castle also happens to contain one of the four surviving copies of Magna Carta.
And one thing to show is, where is Lincoln on the map? Because people will wonder, where should they visit?
Well, it's right here. Would you believe, in the heart of Lincolnshire? You see as well, you've got the Wold there by its side. So very, very nice. And quite out the way of, yeah, it's funny actually, but wedged between Grantham and Scunthorpe. And then you've just got Lincoln in the middle and in all of its splendour. So let's move on, shall we, to talking about Scarborough.
I've been there many times.
Right.
Three or four times.
So you know how wonderful it is.
Yes.
Right, okay. So this, as an example, is the Grand Victorian Hotel, because Scarborough, back during the Victorian era, was one of the chief holiday destinations for Victorians who, you know, you had the burgeoning middle class and they were able to just had more money in their pockets to spend, and so you could go to the seaside at the summer with your family. And there's loads of wonderful, you go in all sorts of cafes and you find old photographs, black and white photographs of people in the Victorian Edwardian era, you know, down at the beach. But the thing is as well, Scarborough has two sides to it. It has the North Bay and the South Bay. You know this, of course, but I'm explaining it for them. And on the South Bay, you've got more of your sort of quintessential English seaside trappings. You know, you've got arcades, slot machines, yeah, fishing chip shops, all those sorts of wonderful things. But then, of course, you also have the North Bay. And if I... Oh, no, jumping ahead. Oh, I've got the same picture twice for some reason. All right. Well, over on the... You have the castle over on the top of the hill as well. Absolutely fantastic castle. Norman Castle. I spoke about it at some length, actually, when I covered the Pendragon Foundation that Nathan Hood is working on as well, because Scarborough Castle is one of my favourites just for its history and its story. And so Scarborough is an absolutely wonderful place. What's more as well, very homogenous, very homogenous, very safe. And what's more as well, the greatest spot in the entirety of Scarborough is up on the hill at night, stood by the castle. And you have the South Bay on your left and you have the North Bay on your right. So you get an almost 360 view stood upon the hill of the entire seaside area. And it's genuinely a thing of magic, especially because that particular pocket of the town really blesses you with the best number of stars at night as well. So you get genuinely starry skies as much as you can with the light pollution that obviously plagues England. And so Scarborough, of all of the seaside destinations, I would say is truly one of the superior choices.
It's a really great one. I've been there, as I said before, four times. Mm. There are bits of it that I like, bits of it I don't like that much. But generally speaking, overall, I think it's a really great place to visit.
Yes.
And one thing I will say, because I like walking the earth, in one day I walked from Filey to Scarborough. I just walked. It's, I think, 17 kilometers. Mm. It's a brilliant walk.
It is. Yes. No, it really, really is. In fact, this entire coastline is absolutely fantastic.
Yes, yes.
I've walked on separate occasions. I've walked from Whitby down to Robin Hood's Bay.
Yes.
I've also walked from Scarborough to Robin Hood's Bay. That was a very long day, very exhausting, but greatly fun. And actually, that brings me to my next choice, because this here...
Can I say just one thing? Yeah. I think that the footpath there is called the Cleveland Road.
Yes.
And it just stretches for miles.
Endlessly. It does.
And it's hundreds of miles.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful... I'd like to dedicate myself to walking more of it in the future.
And can I show something before you show this magnificent village that I've been as well? And okay. I have lots of stuff to say. Mm-hmm. I want to say also that I've done another brilliant footpath here from Bempton to Flamborough Lighthouse.
Oh, yes.
And back. You walk here along the coastline. It's beautiful. Mm. It's absolutely beautiful. There's a lighthouse here. Let me find it. Yeah, somewhere here in Flamborough. Yeah, North Landing, I remember. Yeah. Mm. Yes. And then I did a mistake because I went from Bempton here to this Bempton Cliffs and here. And then we said, right, we need to cut 2 miles less. And we went from another road. And for the half road, there was around 5 kilometers, there was pavement and there was nothing. And then we were zigzagging to the cars.
Oh, like goodness me.
Special ops.
Well, you can see from Google Maps, can't you, just the patchwork of, meadows and fields and things. So let's talk about Robin Hood's Bay. Now, I will just say, I was actually a little bit reluctant to include this one. Not because it doesn't deserve its own mention, but because There are certain, and I'm sure we'll come to this later when we talk about bribery. But you have examples in the country these days of many smaller places, villages, just being overburdened by tourists, right? And actually, these places weren't meant to be flooded by the entire photography department of Asia, right? Actually, they're supposed to be their own places and not just have people constantly with their cameras out, clogging up the roads, you know, just every day. These are quiet places and they're supposed to be able to exist in that way. So if you do go to Robin Hood's Bay, do be mindful of the people that live there, because it's a true time capsule of a place. And I have very early childhood memories, actually, of going here, because this was the first place I ever went to on a residential school trip, where we actually stayed over for, can't remember if it was one night or two, but I'd have been about 9 or 10. Something like that, because Robin Hood's Bay is very, very famous, or infamous, I suppose, for back during the 18th century being a smuggler's cove. It was somewhere where there was a lot of smuggling going on of all sorts of things that were deemed by the populace at the time to be too highly taxed, and so obviously you're cutting through it on the black market. But we had a great amount of fun. You can see here as well, it's on a slight hill. And what we did was we went out into the, well, as a child, it felt like the middle of the night. I'm sure it was probably about 8 p.m. or something. But we started down here at the bottom, and half of the class was at the bottom, and half of us were scattered amidst the houses. And you actually had to get to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Without being detected, you were a smuggler trying to get to the top of the hill, and you had to get there without being detected by the authorities. And it was a great amount of fun. But what's more, Victorian sweet shops, a wonderful bookshop around here where I found some splendid, you know, old tomes. And also, what's more, fantastic pubs. In fact, my most recent visits last year, I was walking down. I think it was actually after I'd walked from Whitby, and I got there to find a small folk band just performing sea shanties in the middle of the street. They also have Victorian weekends where you just go dressed in Victorian style, and it really is, it's wonderful. It's just people authentically celebrating their history, just existing. It's a quiet pace of life, but it's a really special place.
I have several things to add here, because I've been here. I stayed in Filingdale, which is a bit close, but Robin Hood's Bay is amazing. The hill you're describing is indeed steep.
Mm.
I have dined here in this pub.
Mm.
It was really great, and you have windows and you look outside the sea. It's great, and whether it's sunny or cloudy, you do get this feeling that you're in nature.
Mm.
And my opinion is that basically nature is almost always wonderful. Mm. Every landscape has something to show you. It's mostly some cities I don't like. Mm. But Robin Hood's Bay is not one of them. And one thing to say is that here you have lots of people coming with their jet skis and putting them in the water. There is a tide. Mm. And the water is going back, it's receding, and you can walk along the beach. And at some point, I don't know what time it is. I think at around 1 p.m. or something. This is all like a rocky beach.
Mm.
And you can sit here in these places here. You have benches. You can get some coffee or something to Coffee Max or T-Max, whatever.
Yes, T-Max.
And feels like you're looking at planet Mars in some respects. It becomes very otherworldly in a good sense. It's, you know, it's one of these ways that a landscape captures your attention.
Mm.
It's very great.
It is. It really is. So what do we have next? Well, I couldn't not mention
one of my favorites.
Well, couldn't not mention Whitby, could I? You'll notice a pattern here, ladies and gentlemen, which is that I have basically just gone from Lincoln down here, and then basically Scarborough Robin Hood's Bay, Whitby. And there's a reason for that, because this, as Stelios and I keep saying, this coastline is just one of the absolute best. And Whitby, of course, is one of the most charming places I've ever been. You can see here you've got the Abbey up on top of the hill, and it gives the entire town this real Gothic mystique to it, just having these abbey ruins on top of the hill. And there's something even more to the sort of atmosphere of a town, of course, as well, because you also have the Dracula Museum there as well, which I've never actually been in, but there is another museum in Whitby that I have visited, and that is one where for research purposes I had to visit Whitby in order to go to the Captain Cook Museum. Yeah. Because, of course, Whitby is where one of the greatest explorers to ever live had his training. And actually, the museum itself is the house that Cook would have stayed in when he was a young lad learning the ropes of seafaring. What's more as well, you have the old town across the bridge in Whitby as well, and all of the shops in that old town are just so charmingly English. There's one particular one that deserves mention, a special mention, other than, of course, there being many wonderful pubs, which is just to say that there is a particular pie and mash shop in the old town, and they are so proud of it. It's all done out aesthetically like a 1940s cafe. And you've got 1940s sort of, you know, Ella Fitzgerald and, you know, many wonderful singers of that era performing on the, I was going to say the wireless then, but on the radio. And you also have, they're very proud of it because actually this place has been serving food for over 400 years. They have a particular sign up in it that says, "We've been serving food through the reign of King Charles I, King Charles II, and King Charles III, right? And so you really get this sense of longevity, of heritage, of history, of memory in Whitby. And it all comes together with, of course, glorious views out to the North Sea. And as I say, all with this wonderful town by its side. And obviously Whitby fish and chips are the greatest on earth.
Yes, so one thing I will say, I absolutely love Whitby, and I may make a judgment here, a comparative judgment. I think that relative to Scarborough, Whitby has sort of confined the arcade a bit.
Yes, that's true.
You can definitely see a visible difference. Right, so Whitby is absolutely wonderful. I've been to it three times from York to Whitby. And you take a bus, the Coastliner, I think it was bus 55, if I'm not mistaken, and you cross this North York Moors National Park. You went to Thornton Le Dale, and then you go through this national park, which is stunningly beautiful. And there is a crater here somewhere, don't know exactly where it is, that you can stop and you can walk a circle. Anyway, Whitby is absolutely lovely. I've been to the Abbey. You walk up the hill. And one thing I will say is that it's so jolly. It's simultaneously Gothic and jolly, because I think it's the capital of the Goths. I think they have some Gothic festivals there in August or July.
This would not surprise me.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they do have some Gothic festivals. But it's so happy as a city. It's just very noticeable. It's people are having fun.
Yes,
you see it, and the route, especially maybe it was the sunny days that I visited.
I have heard local rumors from Whitby actually that they get very worried during the summer period from people coming from outside of Whitby. And by this, I don't mean foreigners. I mean Geordies. Right, I mean, they get very worried about people coming down from Newcastle and Sunderland, basically going very heavy in the pubs and causing a local ruckus. So if you are from either of those two places, please behave responsibly because you have a bad reputation in Whitby. All right.
Right,
let's start talking about some places that aren't on my favourite northern coastline, shall we? And I actually wanted, for all it's worth, I actually wanted to give a bit of a nod to some of the perks of London, actually, because they do still exist, even though London is obviously no one's favourite place, certainly not who works here. However, the Prince Charles Cinema is an absolutely wonderful cinema. I visited it potentially about 5 times, and you might think, okay, well, Luca, why are you just giving a shout out to a cinema of all things, right? There's cinemas all over the country. Well, this one is a little bit different. It's a little bit quirky because actually you can go and see particular films on 35mm reels, right? Actually, it's not, you know, it's not all download software as they have today. No, it's an actual old time film reel, and so you can see the cigarette burns and things on the film as it's watching, and it just gives it this grainy, just really
Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez feel.
You know, so I mean, one of the greatest experiences was having this watching Master and Commander at this cinema as well. And often, you know, it's not really a cinema that plays many, many new things. It tends to just play old classics. And it's a cinema that really just deserves your respect. I won't hark on it too much, but if you're ever in Leicester Square and you fancy a film, they've always got something on, and it's just really, really good.
I don't think I've been there, but I will take your advice. And next time I'm in London, I'll be there. One of the things that I don't visit London frequently, but one of the main reasons is that the average speed is 12 miles per hour, wherever you are.
This is why I spent 5 years in London and never learned to drive.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I want to be on those
roads?
It's
a city designed to hate drivers.
Yes.
It's a city designed against drivers.
Yeah, especially with you, Les.
Yes, I resent it. But it has its nice places. It has its nice places.
It does. Yeah. So I have another one here, which is the BFI, the British Film Institute. I'm sure it's a total coincidence that the nice places in London that I'm naming are off the streets and indoors. but nonetheless...
There are great places.
This seems to be the pattern. Now, why have I alerted you to the BFI? Well, though it does have a cinema, that's not actually why I'm pitching it. The BFI has an marvellous archive, which is basically a collection of, as it says here, British lives caught on film and collected online, 120 years of Britain on film. And you can just go there for free, find a booth, and just look through the archives. You can get a little headset, and you can just pour through hours and hours and hours of British history, old British films, Patha, you know, British Patha, newsreels, anything, just anything that is of old England, and it's on camera, you can find it there. And so it's actually just a really great place to go to reconnect with Britain on film through the ages. But if I dare to venture a single place outdoors in London, it has to be Covent Garden. Are you familiar with?
Yes.
Yes, you've been there?
Yes. Many times.
Yes. I really like Covent Garden. When I was living in London for 5 years for my sins, it got pretty rough at times, right? I didn't enjoy living in London. However, I never had
it
one...
It was karma. You did something bad in your previous life.
Well, I you're saying that, not me.
You said for your sins.
Yes.
These are your words, not mine.
Yeah, well, good point, good point. Touché. What was I going to say? Yes, I never had a single bad experience at Covent Garden, right? It's a place that is constantly teeming with life and music and joy, right? The shops, of course, very classy, very high society. A particularly wonderful pipe shop that does cigars and pipe tobaccos and things. Socks, if you're interested in that sort of thing. But what's more as well, one of the things that I appreciate most about Covent Garden is the actual street performance, right? I like that because that is exactly the sort of thing you would have gotten, not just around Covent Garden, but more around London, of course, in the Victorian era. The streets would have been awash with street performers and people entertaining people, street theatre, all these sorts of things. In fact, my final performance when I was at drama school was at the church that is just opposite from this picture. They call it the Actors' Church, and it's just on the opposite side there, and we performed our final exam in that church. It was wonderful. So I do think that if you're ever in London and you're looking around just entirely black-pilled, retreat to Covent Garden, and there you will find some sense of joy in your visit. All right. So now for something completely different. And by the way, I don't feel the need to pull up Google Maps. You all know where London is for those past three things.
You broke your pattern. From the north, you went south.
I did. And now we're going west. Because this here has been one of the... one of the advantages of moving to Swindon, other than having one of the best jobs in the world, is the fact that actually it allowed me to unlock certain areas of England that I'd never had access to before. And one of the greatest discoveries that I've had since I've been here has been West Kennet Barrows. Now, Kennet is a... I'd hesitate to even call it a village. It seems more like a hamlet, really. But you have to walk some way. I mean, unless, of course, you've got the car. I did it on foot. But eventually you reach these barrows. Now, these are obviously thousands and thousands of years old. And there's not really any barrows up my neck of the woods. So it was a real joy to see them. And you really... It's a place of such strong atmosphere when you go in there as well. And the fact that you can just walk in to these barrows that are, Neolithic, ancient Britain, it really gives you this sense of connection. And it's all, you've got wonderful countryside around you. There's even a great mound. I was going to say on top of the hill. The mound is a man-made mound that is the hill. And what's more as well, if you have a good old time there, you can walk a little bit further down the road carrying on west and find a pub there called the Wagon and Horses. And this is a wonderful pub that is actually featured in one of Charles Dickens' novels because he stayed at it when he was journeying on his way to Bath. And so a lot of rich history just in this small little vicinity of Kennet alone, and well worth your time. Let's get out of England,
yeah,
shall we, for just a second. This is Harlech Castle in Wales. Have you spent much time visiting Wales?
Not much, but I have, and I do have a place in Wales that I'm going to end my portion of the segment with.
Oh, wonderful. Well, this is Harlech Castle. I visited it for the first time this year. Some of you may know the name of Harlech most famously from the song Men of Harlech, as they sing it in Zulu in front of all of the thousands of Zulu warriors. But this is, of course, a typical example of many of the splendid castles that you have around Wales when the English were busy trying to lock it down and bring a bit of Anglo-Saxon order to the place, he said provocatively. But this is, of course, a wonderful castle. Now, despite how formidable it looks, something that I found very interesting when I went there was that Harlech Castle has endured about 5 or 6 different sieges.
Okay.
And it only actually held out
Die once. Hard Castle.
Yeah, it only held out once. The 5 other times it was actually conquered. But to say that it's withstood 6 sieges, it's in pretty good condition, I'd say.
Perhaps that's why they won it.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, maybe so. He had some very distinct weaknesses that everyone said, let's focus there.
Yeah.
And the rest of it stays.
Mm. I mean, its position is phenomenal. It's not as apparent from the photograph, but it's very, very much raised upon the hill. And all the buildings you can see here are very far down. And so if you stand on the battlements, you get an incredible view, of course, of the sea out into the Irish Sea, but also of the surrounding town of Harlech as well, and of course all of the many mountain ranges of Wales on the horizon. So, and what's more as well, I've thought that the Welsh locals were very, very friendly, very kind folk. So a nod to them as well. So Harlech Castle is definitely a place to visit. And I just have one more place to mention before we go over to your suggestions as well. And that is that you go and do the Yorkshire Three Peaks Challenge if you are younger and you feel like your legs can stand it. Now, the Yorkshire Three Peaks are Penygent, Wernside and Ingleborough. And you can do it informally, you can just do it at your own pace, but there is an actual challenge, which is to do all three peaks in the space of 12 hours. And that's a great challenge for many people, and of course many people go with a fellowship of friends and attempt to do this. And you can see here the viaducts, how imposing they are on the landscape. It just has such a magic to it as well. And I do believe from this particular... you can see just how atmospheric the landscape is in the Yorkshire Dales. It's really, really splendid. And so if you were looking for a walking holiday, then I would absolutely recommend the Three Peaks. I attempted it some years ago, but due to, there's no other way to put it, bad planning, we only really managed two of them, so it's something that I hope to attempt again.
We need to do three of them because I love trekking.
Yes, all right, let's do that sometime. And yeah, you should do it too, ladies and gentlemen, because it's wonderful. And what's
walking with Brother Luca and Brother Stelios.
Yeah, a real pilgrimage, and a northern pilgrimage. And so, yeah, the wonderful, wonderful countryside, because it's not just a case of one mountain down, next, you know, there are miles and miles between these three peaks as well. And so by the time you've finished this, you really are going to feel like you've experienced the very greatest of what the landscape of Yorkshire has to offer you. So there we go. Oh, sorry, there was one more Stelios, which is also just visit Tewkesbury. This is another place like Kennet that I found locally. Well, not so local, of course, this is more towards the Welsh border. But Tewkesbury is a magnificent medieval English town. It also has an incredible reenactment of the Battle of Tewkesbury. Yeah. And what's more as well, I will just say, some of the best bookshops that I found anywhere in Britain. So I'll just say that quickly, and over to you, sir.
And let us just give an idea to people that Tewkesbury is down here.
Yes, it is. It's, if we just pull out.
Yep.
Phrasing. yeah, it's over there, Tewkesbury. You see it right there above Cheltenham.
Yep, here it is.
Yep, so it's between Gloucester. It's just north of Gloucester.
Great. Right, so we're going to go to the middle of Wiltshire.
Mm.
Actually, not quite the middle. Where is it?
Ooh. We're there in Swindon, obviously.
Right, I will say this. I mean, everything around Swindon is magnificent. Mm. Swindon has some nice parts.
It does. We always
say the bad things about it, but it has some nice parts.
You must look for the good.
Yeah, we must look for the good. And I will say this, and I say so shamelessly, when we have guests here, I take them to the Pyongyang tour. Now, if you're watching the show, this is the tour where we go to some magnificent neighborhoods.
Mm.
And if you just walk in these neighborhoods, it's absolutely lovely. If you zoom out a bit, the surrounding area, not so much.
It's just like North Korea.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to go to the next one. Let's put it here, to Stonehenge.
Mm.
Right? This is very, it's a classic choice, but I do like it. I do love it.
I've never actually been.
You have to go there. And also, if you love walking, you have to go there, because Stonehenge isn't just this site. It's a massive area where you can just walk footpaths endlessly.
Mm.
And one of my favorite experiences is just walking there in the surrounding area with full sunshine. Mm. You walk, you're surrounded by nature. You're surrounded by rabbits. There are lots of rabbits there. Last time I went,
do you like rabbits?
Right. So this is just something that you have to see at least once. Mm. Even if you're local or a tourist, you have to see Stonehenge. Mm. It's brilliant. And let me just give you some very basic facts. I have here an AI-generated list just to see what the internet says.
Okay.
Right? Because it's random facts, because we can talk about these sites endlessly. They're saying basically that its purpose was a mystery. Mm. And it was basically believed to be a religious or ceremonial site.
It's not that big a mystery. We do know why it was built, and it was built for the greater good.
The greater good.
Yes.
And they say that a key feature that is interesting and spooky and nice is its astronomical alignment. They say the main axis of the monument lines up with the sunrise on the summer solstice and the sunset on the winter solstice. And this suggests that it was an important marker for seasonal events. Mm. And also, I'm going to break lots of rules here. You know, pro-tourist lobby.
Oh, yeah.
It's also Avebury that is great.
Yes, I visited Avebury.
Yeah.
I was there for the summer solstice, actually. I was there with Rory and a few of the other lads.
Yeah, and lots of people who are saying that Stonehenge is too crowded, they say go to Avebury. Mm. And yeah, they say go to Avebury. And I will say one thing, because last time I went to Avebury, I was there with a druid aficionado, and she was touching the stones and telling me that she was healing herself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a sort of, you know, druidic feeling there.
Mm.
So just visit it. I don't know if the stones have healing powers or not.
Yeah.
But maybe try it. I don't know. Just maybe try it.
Many people will advise you to go and touch grass. Stelios advises you to go and touch the stone.
Right. So now I want to take you again up north.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Patriot.
Up north, because I was there for 7 years. Mm. And I do love York. And this is York here, right here. It has just endless history. I want to show you just some pictures here. This is the Shambles.
Very famous.
This is one of the oldest neighborhoods. I think it's from the 1500s. And here you have it by night. And I will say one thing is that this is a lovely place here. Mm. I just couldn't have enough of it.
No. I'm sure I went for a birthday 1 year when I was quite young, and it being very special.
Well, if you were quite young, you wouldn't have noticed some of the things that I did notice in York.
Oh, okay.
And we will talk about them in a bit. But I will say that the Shambles here is one of the best neighborhoods. And you have every night a ghost tour. Mm. There's a ghost shop, you know, and there are huge queues of people going in and buying ghost figurines. Mm. It's really great.
That does sound pretty cool.
And you have someone dressed with the appropriate dress.
Yeah, you.
No. The appropriate garments and whatever. And they are giving people a sort of a ghost tour. Mm. And there's also a bus in York that you can have a haunted tour of York.
Why York specifically? Why is it associated with ghosts?
Why not?
Point taken.
Ghosts are everywhere.
Ghosts are everywhere. I should know
Why not?
Yeah.
Also, there's a Harry Potter shop there that has... Usually you see it full of people. Mm. It's not like that.
I imagine the streets are rarely that quiet.
Yeah. Also, I remember there was a llama figurine somewhere here. Mm. And I think here you have an excellent, excellent coffee shop with lovely scones. The scones were huge.
Mm.
Is it scones or scones? Whatever.
Well, I'd say scones, but...
Let's leave Civil War for later.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the tour. Right, so York is very wonderful and vibrant. It's also very jolly. You see here that it has kept its character to a surprising extent. See here this lovely, I think this is Micklegate. It doesn't say here. I think this is Micklegate Tower and the Micklegate Road and entry. You had the Micklegate Social here just behind. You have, I think it was Ria's here, the Italian shop. You go down to the cellar.
All right.
And just at the place where this person is taking the photo, there was a great pub. How was it called? The Windmill, I think. Mm. I've dined there many a times. It was one of my favorite pubs. Mm. I don't know if it's still there. I think it was. Right. Let me just show you other. Here's your cathedral. Again, very big cathedral.
Minster,
mm. Yeah. And you have here the statue of Constantine the Great.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's a bit imperial, you know. Mm. There are imperial vibes in the city. Here you have, just to the left, you have also a tea shop with hundreds of flavors.
Mm.
You mentioned before when you mentioned Lincoln. I will say I couldn't forget. Mm. I had a tea with chocolate and orange.
That sounds extraordinary.
Extraordinary. And there's also a lovely bookshop just to the left of it.
Very peculiar.
Yeah. You know, there's also a great bookshop. I think it's called the Minster Bookshop. Mm. Definitely give that a visit. Right. So York is very, very, very full of people. Mm. And you have all sorts of tourism. The Minster is great. See here, York, in case you're wondering where you are.
In case and you're lost.
I will say this. I've been inside the Minster several times, and there was a lovely occasion in early December. I think it's every year early December. So now, less than a month from now, I think it was a Santa Lucia choir.
Mm.
And they're singing lovely religious music.
Oh, heavenly.
O Come Emmanuel, or Christmas carols and stuff.
Right.
It's a marvelous experience. So definitely visit it. If you want to have an idea, just check videos on YouTube, because there are videos of this glorious event. Right. So what it says here, York is one of the most ancient cities with such a patriotic history. Our city was there. Athelstan, the first king of England, united all Anglo-Saxon and Viking territories, making him the first Anglo-Saxon ruler of all of England. So it does have rich history. And it will also say something that just comes off the top of my head. I think it was Cardinal Wolsey who was in York.
Yes.
And during the period of Henry VIII, where he was trying to get a divorce from Catherine of Aragon.
Yeah, he was exiled from power and basically given York. He was like Bishop of York, something like that. It was his last title.
Yes, and I think did he kill himself before they killed him? Or is that one of the...
It's a speculation. It may have been the case, but I think the generally accepted version of history is that he just got ill and died, fortunately, before his trial. Treason trial.
Right. And I will say very briefly, we have the two really interesting series. One is a series, the other is a movie. A Man for All Seasons.
Oh, I love it.
And then we have Tudors, where in Tudors they have a more sympathetic view of Cardinal Wolsey. I mean, it's Sam Neill. I cannot not like him.
Oh, he's
even when he's playing the villain, I kind of stand for Sam Neill.
The thing is as well, actually, just on that, Sam Neill is the sort of man I'd never have thought to have cast as Wolsey. But he is magnificent.
Yes.
Every single scene he's in. He's
and the scene perfect. Where he commits suicide is one of the greatest scene. I think it was my favorite scene of the series.
Very powerful.
Man for All Seasons is a wonderful movie, but they did portray him as basically like Jabba the Hutt.
Well, he was played by Orson Welles. So.
Right, yeah. This is AI generated, but the issue is that it's not that far away from reality.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Again, Micklegate here. It's not just Micklegate. Come on. Come on, Twitter. Right, here.
Mm.
Again, this may be AI generated, but it's not far from reality. And I will say I have been in this... hotel occasionally. If you're properly dressed, they do allow you to go in the garden here. And
oh, they actually have a dress code.
Maybe you basically need to not be dressed as a bum.
based.
Yeah. So I wasn't. So I was allowed entry. You may proceed.
Yeah.
It was just great. And you look at the Minster here from behind. Mm-hmm. This is like backstage view of the Minster. Mm. Not exactly, because you have the walls that surround the city. Mm. Absolutely stunning views. It's you have to do it. Two of the things you have to do in York are the following: walk along the walls, mm-hmm. and also do the Dame Judi Dench walk. Walk along the river, miles and miles and miles. Mm. It's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, and you also have the Jorvik Center as well, don't you?
Yes, the Viking history. Yes,
I remember that from a school trip as a young lad.
Just look at this. This is behind the Minster. They have here some cafe shops. Now they haven't taken the tables and chairs outside, but you have these three wonderful places here where you can get scones and coffee and tea, whatever. It's just magnificent. Right, let's exit this. Let's see if we have extra photos here. Again, shambles. Come on. Right, here. Okay. This is just a look of York without the tables and chairs here of the pubs.
Or a Dutch angle shot.
Yeah.
For some reason. Great.
I think this is the Centurion place behind. It had the gym I went. Mm. But I walk this place all day, you know, and you walk along here. You have the other bridge here. You also have another lovely place here in the... You can... Where is it? Anyway, we left here. Mm. Right, so York is amazing. Definitely visit it. And if you love walking, it's one of the best places because you can just walk everywhere. Mm. And it has great connection with also public transport to basically all the places in the north. Mm. So it's very central and great. Now, York is one of those cities where they say that it's really stunning. Mm. And I have heard that the York of the south is Bath. Lots of people in Bath may say that York is the Bath of the North. I'm staying out of it. But let me just show you here where we are going. York is here. Bath is right here, close to Bristol. It's here. Yeah. It's right where the Cotswolds begin, I think. Mm. I think the Cotswolds are a massive area here. It's just even more bigger than this. It's just... Bath is here. Right. Let us look at some Bath photos.
So I've only ever visited Bath once, so must go again.
You have to go there.
Well, I mean, it's already convinced me.
Yeah, let's just look at this.
Yeah, extraordinary.
You walk here. Here was a place where, I will say, first time I visited now, because I visited, I think, 20 years ago. Mm. You walk here, and there are some stairs, and you climb down. And I saw some people here eating with their hands. I said, what are they doing? Anyway, I just kept continuing, walking along this beautiful
line. Why do you have to pay for stock photos? What's this nonsense? Very strange.
No idea. Right. Let me just show you. Here, you have beautiful bridges. Mm. You just look at that.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And then, of course, as well, isn't it, one of the most... important landmarks of it is the old ancient Roman baths.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure I must have visited many years ago when I did go, however briefly.
Yeah. There are lots of people here who take pictures. Mm. I have been one of them.
Oh, I thought you might have been.
Yes. Right. So this is just a place where you have magnificent view, and I never get tired of it. Mm. Never get tired of it. Let's look at some other photos from Bath here. Also, it has a great pub, I think the Raven Pub. Mm. And this is the pub where Keir Starmer was denied entrance.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes, so we have to mention this.
Shout out to Lord.
For people who are also interested in the current affairs.
And that was based as well, because that was over the lockdown stuff as well.
Yes. Right. Again, here, if you walk down this small... path, you see here, this is a great hotel.
Yeah, remarkable here.
You see also, I think this, no, that's not Sydney Gardens, it's called it has a different name. Sydney Gardens is to the right of it if you walk here,
and Sydney Sweeney Gardens.
Sydney Sweeney Gardens, yeah, definitely visit.
Check them out.
Check them out. She gave us her endorsement.
She did.
Didn't she? Right. So you see here. Right. This is a great place.
Oh, I do remember this. Yeah. Yes. How could I forget that, possibly? Yeah, that was one of the greatest streets I've ever been on.
Yeah. And I think this is Bath Regent or Regent's Bath Circus. And close to it has some very posh but lovely neighborhoods. Mm. And I've heard this an anecdote where someone was there living there in the door knock, and it was Nicolas Cage said, "I'm interested in buying your house. Are you interested in selling?" But it's just crazily expensive. Bath is crazily expensive.
Imagine living in that cove.
Yeah.
Imagine. Yes.
Right. So I'm not so much a city person.
Mm.
I'm more of a nature man. I love, you know, the great unexplored.
And when I named Lincoln, part of the charm of Lincoln is the fact that it is a small city.
Yeah. But I will mention this city because it's very close to my heart, Edinburgh. In Scotland.
Always meant to go.
Yeah. There is something really lovely about the city for me, which the audience may disagree with me. It's the sound. I love the sound of bagpipes.
Oh, is it the sound
and
of the Scots.
Very frequently listen to bagpipes there.
Mm.
Also, you have Edinburgh Castle, which is lovely. And you go through a wonderful tour and you look down the city and it's great. Mm. You have, I think, Arthur's Eld or King's Eld. I think Arthur's Eld.
Right.
It's another beautiful hill that you see the city. But it's just, and you have this great road here.
Mm.
You climb up to the castle. Now, we'll say this. I do have a massive issue, possibly with the Scottish government. I think Scotland is one of the most expensive places to have whiskey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I absolutely love whiskey.
That should never be
and
the case.
Scots are, I think, number one in whiskey. I will say this.
I happen to agree.
I also love Irish whiskey, but I think my favorite are the Scots whiskeys, especially in the Isle of Islay, the smoked ones.
Mm.
More of a smoked whiskey man. They were crazily expensive there. Now, I have heard the excuse that there's lots of drunken fights and they're trying to contain it.
In Scotland.
But I think that this is an absolute excuse. I have seen several brawls there, people throwing chairs. But let us not mix things.
No.
Whiskey is whiskey. And this tax rate on whiskey is categorically wrong.
They don't want you to know this, but you can drink whiskey without throwing chairs.
Yes. Again, yeah, not don't ban whiskey.
Yeah.
Right. Look at this. It's just marvelous.
That is extraordinary.
And one thing I will say, some buildings were a bit grayish or blackish. But this didn't deprive the jolliness of the town. I got a very happy feeling there. Maybe it was the bagpipes. Maybe it was the bagpipes. But lots of Scots I've met disagree with me. They tell me they can't stand the sound of bagpipes.
Oh, I'm glad they're saying it because I do happen to agree with them.
No, it's the sound of pride.
It's a very sharp
It's the sound of pride.
All right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I wish it didn't exist.
No, you have
one of my favorite
You have to love the sound of bagpipes. It's just how it is.
Oh, yes. No, I understand that.
Right. So I like how diplomatically you put it.
I quite understand.
It pierces your ear, but it elevates you.
Mm.
It fills you with pride and joy.
I do understand that, actually. Okay. I'm a bit more convinced.
So here is Tom Roussel, great man, great friend of the show.
Mm.
And he says, my current advice for tourists visiting England is to just visit these three towns, Cirencester, quaint town, local Cotswolds villages, Roman Villa, Treadworth and Roman Museum in town, Bath for Roman Baths, beautiful town, and the nearby stately home. And he has this trajectory here where he goes south.
Oh, to Salisbury.
Yeah, right. That's great, but I'm going to break his rule. I will travel along his road, but I will also be very cheeky and tell people to do the exact opposite route as well.
What, to do it
do
in
this,
reverse?
But also the exact, also go to the Cotswolds here, which I happen to love. I do appreciate the concerns that you have, and I'm sure that they are the concerns Tom has. I do appreciate this, but you have to look at the stunning beauty of the Cotswolds. I'm a Cotswolds aficionado,
yes,
but I will be diplomatic in that I won't mention all of the Cotswolds.
Okay.
Because there are many. I mean, there are many.
All right, then but keep your secrets.
The ones that I'm frequenting, I won't say.
Good.
So they don't get full of other people. But the ones that they weren't particularly good to me. They overcharged my coffee and my scones and my fish and chips.
No.
And the places where I went and the fish and chips portion wasn't massive and was expensive.
Dear me.
No.
No.
Right. We'll have. Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm joking a bit, but we are talking about wholesome places, great places that you have to visit. And not all of them are in the Cotswolds. I will say this. I try to never miss a weekend. I have this thread here. This is in Shaftesbury. I was going down to Durdledore and I had to stop there because a footpath started and I want to do it again. It's wonderful. You just look at the view here.
Oh, it's splendid.
And I want to walk it. Right, and I have here other places. Right, Wells in Somerset, that's not Cotswolds. It's not Dorset either. Shaftesbury is in Dorset. But you just look at this.
Yeah, that's astonishing.
This is one of the oldest neighborhoods again. This guy here was messing up with my photo. But still, it's beautiful.
Get out of it.
Here you have stunning views. It's just wonderful.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, just look at this. This is beauty.
I do remember Carl saying that Wells Cathedral was one of the greatest places to visit.
Yeah. Now I'm going to attract the hatred of people.
Of me.
Because
don't tell them, Stelios. Don't tell them.
Don't tell them. This is a picture I got from Bybury. When you see AI pictures there, just compare them. You see that it's true. Also, one thing I want to say is that I think it's a good thing for people to what this is, by the way, Stonewalled. This is the Doors of Durin. I think it's important for people to see it at some point. And I'm talking to our audience, because when you go to some of those beautiful Cotswolds, you see what hasn't been taken away from you.
Yes.
And I will say this. This is why I'm breaking this rule, because I think that it's a massive white pill for people who feel incredibly black-pilled.
Yes.
You have to watch it, because this is something that is alive and vibrant. And
this is what you're fighting
for. Once you see that it hasn't died, it will fill you with joy. It will fill you with pride, and it will reinvigorate your patriotic sentiments.
Is that north of Swindon? Stonewalled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just show you here where Stonewalled is.
So yeah, that's probably up in my priorities, to be honest with you.
So
I see it.
Cirencester, also where Tom suggested, is where we've been there.
We have.
You remember once where you stayed at my place?
Yes.
A long time ago, we drove to Cirencester.
Yeah, it was good night.
Good night. And then the road back closed and we had to take another road. Anyway. Don't dox me. Right. Here you see Cotswolds. Aonb is area of outstanding natural beauty. Here is Stonewalled,
which definitely also has its own beauty.
Yeah. And here is Josh's favorite place, or not so much lately. Here is where he thinks it's completely destroyed by tourism burden on the water. I will say, when it's full of people, it's annoying. You can't park. You can't walk. It's full of people. Lots of them are just walking barefoot, and they're entering the river barefoot.
Oh.
It can get full of people.
It's considerate.
If you pick times where it isn't full of tourism, it's absolutely wonderful. And let me show you some pictures here. Where is it? Let me show you some pictures that I got. Where
sure. Stonehenge here.
Yeah, here, I'll show you two pictures.
Mm.
You walk along the river. You see that I picked a good day.
Oh, it's paradise.
If you know how, you can game the system and you can actually see it in its beauty. Right, so just look at this. You're walking and this is just a lovely river. Lots of lovely ducks. Awesome. Just following one another. It's great. Very wholesome. Here from that ridge, you see it. And it has lots of other lovely pictures. Let me see, where is it? Yeah, but also it has, here is what Maven says. He says, bought another one.
Yeah, that's grim. Yeah.
He says he is showing how very bad it can get.
Mm.
Things can get with lots of tourism. Just look at it. This is absolutely unacceptable.
Entirely.
It's absolutely unacceptable.
Well, if you did that, you should just be banned from the village.
Yes. And
it's that simple.
Pick up some great days to visit. Again, when you do, it will reinvigorate your sentiments because the city is lovely.
Mm.
It's not a city. This small Cotswold is absolutely lovely. Right.
These are pictures of Highbury from before.
Yeah. Right. Another one, which is one of my absolute favorites, is Broadway, which is really close to Stonewall.
Mm.
You take this road here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you go here. Also, Chipping Campden is magnificent.
Mm.
Broadway Tower. This is just great.
Mm.
And it has a footpath. You climb down the hill to Broadway. You can just walk. And it's absolutely lovely. Broadway is fantastic. It's very expensive, but you understand why.
Mm.
And during the summer, they have something really nice and interesting. They have a contest. No, it's not exactly a contest. I think it's people do it spontaneously. They paint.
Mm.
They go out and they just paint in nature.
Oh, right.
They draw inspiration from the magnificent scenery, and they do so. And let me just show you where is it. Yeah, you can have pictures here of Broadway.
Mm.
Broadway Hotel, the fish, Crown Lower Mill here. And this is Broadway Tower. It's magnificent.
It is.
And here, if you love footpaths, Broadway can be a great place to start. Here you have Cotswolds Way, Ashmolean Museum Broadway, Upper High Street. You have Whichevern Way, which is 40 miles of a footpath, which to me is a challenge.
I'm definitely going to walk that at some point.
And also Cotswolds Way.
Mm.
Also car park and toilets if you want to relieve yourself.
You'd hope so.
Right. Now I want to show you Durdledore because I will say that people outside of England frequently think that England doesn't have beautiful beaches and waters. This is absolutely a mistake. And there are some areas where, right, the water is not so nice.
Sure.
Yeah. But there are also some areas where the water is stunning. And one of them is Durdledore. Is it here?
You remember which part of the coastline it's on?
Yeah. Here.
Mm.
Durdledore.
Good find.
And Lulworth Cove.
Mm.
So here, let me just show you pictures. Again, also there were smugglers here and stuff. So it's beautiful. And the waters here are magnificent. And you have lots of people swimming. And also it's just stunningly beautiful. One thing I will say here is that I parked here in Lulworth Cove.
Mm.
I walked here. It was beautiful. And you have magnificent walks. And then I climbed up. I call it the Hill of Sorrows because it was very steep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you walk to Manowar Beach and Durdledore.
Mm.
I will show you photos in a bit. We're talking about beaches. Sorry, beaches.
Beaches.
Beaches. Sorry, right. Okay, we'll edit that out.
No, we won't.
We won't.
No.
It's
too
please,
funny.
Don't stop at having me. Right. Beaches.
Mm.
Great. Okay, so I climbed up the Hill of Sorrows. It was very steep. The group I was with was very keen on taking photos. It was a bit annoying. Let's just move on. And I just said, right, I'm going to speed up. And I jogged it. It was two or three minutes. I was exhausted. But then I went out and just, I was watching the other ones climbing up slowly.
And you felt better watching their struggle.
Yes. And then I just chilled.
Chill
and watch the beautiful view. And you walk to, where is it? Yeah, here, Manowar Beach and Dirdledore. And let me show you the photos I took.
That's down here, I assume. Oh, yeah. There you are.
This is Lulworth Cove. This is from my phone. This isn't AI generated. This isn't just, you know, or tinkered or something. These are actual colors.
Yeah, it looks extraordinary. Right?
It is extraordinary.
Is that blue water? It's not even grey.
Yeah. Here is just, you see how wholesome this is, Lulworth Cove. Also, I will say this because I like giving credit where it's due. It had great fish and chips.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. There was a swarm of seagulls, cheeky bastards. They tried to steal it, but I didn't allow them.
They do that.
Yeah. And let me just show you also Dirdledore here.
Good fish and chips should always be commended.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, okay. I must go there.
It's great. Yeah, you have to go there. I've heard that. I haven't swum there. I will at some point. I've heard that the rocks there are very sharp. You have to take care. But you have to go there. Also, really fun thing is I was telling one person in the group, you really have to take care how you be careful how you walk. It's a steep hill.
Well, those, here, you mean on those cliffs?
They didn't hear and they
fell to their death. Like what happened?
No, they didn't die, but it's just they faced the consequences of not listening to prudent advice.
How ominous!
Yeah, right. Here's Winchester. Right, Winchester is in Hampshire.
King Alfred.
Here is just a few pictures.
Yes.
I was a bit unlucky that day because it was very cloudy. You can't see the majesty of Winchester when it's that cloudy. I mean, you can, but if it were sunny, it would be more glorious. The colors would be more visible. Right. And let's go here to another place. Let me just show you here. Dirdledore. Yep.
That looks extraordinary, especially after everyone's left. And well, that's not real.
Someone just burst of energy. Yeah, yeah. I think my photos were better. Ah, here it is, another one. Yeah, took a much needed break from politics today, but traveling across Dorset and eventually reaching Dirdledore. That was the day.
That was the day.
Yeah, yeah. And look at just here the beauty of the place. Here's where I was waiting the other guys and lasses. It was the lasses who were basically really stalling because they were taking pictures just
at the beaches.
Right. Okay, this is Shaftesbury before. That's Manowar Beach. Just look at it.
Oh, yeah, extraordinary.
Yeah. Also, I have heard that waters in Cornwall and Devon are great.
Well, I'm sure Josh go there. Speak to that with some authority.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only been to Torquay. It was nice. I told you that in the beach was a bit like being in a Radio Genoa video.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
I withheld evidence because I posted it.
You did.
Everyone just started to pile on me. No, it can't happen.
No, it's not true.
I strategically withheld evidence and then I did. No, that day the beach was full on Radio Genoa. But yeah, I have heard great things. And I have been told to visit St. Ives.
Oh, St. Ives is splendid. It's one of the few places in Cornwall I've actually visited.
Also, one thing, Torquay. I think Torquay is the... Is it also called Torbay?
I can't remember. I know it's where Fawlty Towers was set.
Yeah. And also, I think, unless I'm hugely mistaken, I think it was where William of Orange landed in 1688 when he was basically told...
Right.
Invited.
Well, actually, there is a... If you just zoom out a little bit,
yeah.
Somewhere in there is Newton Abbot. And Newton Abbot, well, it must be near Exeter. But Newton Abbot was, there was a spot where a speech was given to the local populace where they basically announced that William of Orange was their new king. And I can only imagine that the locals were looking around very confused at just suddenly having a new king arrived in their little sleepy village.
Yeah.
But yeah, but also, all got history.
I will say driving in the M5
oh, there it is.
Great.
Just, yeah?
Yeah, the M5 is great. Newton Abbot, yeah, here.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Great. Also, I've heard great things about all of Devon and all of Cornwall.
Mm.
I mean, Josh has sang its praises.
Yes. Well, the Dartmoor in particular is splendid.
Yeah. Also, I want to go to Clovelly. That's where I'll go next summer at some point.
Mm.
Where is it? I have a list where, you know, I'm obsessed with. I've been to 82 places in the UK.
Mm.
I want to maximize them, right? Okay. Now, the final place I want to show is in Wales.
Mm.
It's Aberystwyth. And I will say that it's very close to my heart for several reasons. Some of them are very personal. I won't disclose. But it's stunningly beautiful. And it has great view. It's very happy.
Mm.
The seagulls are a bit prejudiced against the houses.
Oh yeah,
in the sea, near the coastline.
Well, I'm sure they're very prejudiced against the seagulls.
Yeah, they are going a bit IDF on the houses there, and they're just just bombarding them with the waste. We know. Seagull waste.
We got it.
But yeah, it was great. And here it has a pier somewhere. Don't know where it is. It was a nice place here to drink beer and something. And yeah, it was great. We had also some good fish and chips. One thing, I think there were lots of stoners there in Aberystwyth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me just show you how I drove there and where it is. It's right here.
Mm.
I think they say that Snowdonia is a bit to the north. It's where I want to go next.
Yeah, that's where I was earlier this
year. Yeah, and basically you go, yeah, you cross Bristol here and you just go there. And here it's where Aberystwyth is.
Which is a wonderful name as well. It's a nice one, Aberystwyth.
Yeah, you have lovely footpaths with brilliant, awesome, view. And also you have a very jolly seaside. You occasionally have some stoners here or there. Just some of them walk with a swag and music. That was,
really
fun. Yeah. But it's a bit contained.
Mm.
Right. Let me show you the
containment.
Yeah. And again, I will say I experienced a very jolly sentiment there from it. And you have, really bright colored places. You have this
beautiful these photos landscape. Are astonishing.
And here you have Aberystwyth Castle, which I think, unless I'm horribly mistaken, was destroyed by Cromwell.
Oh, really?
The Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had his reasons.
Yeah. And look at this. Just walking along the seaside is great.
Reminds me a lot of Scarborough, actually, in its geography, in the way that the houses arc round and you've got the raised hill in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great. And you walk along here. There's also a sauna here if you want to go and chill and then swim in the cold waters. Beautiful seaside road.
Mm.
It covers miles. Definitely visit Aberystwyth. It's just brilliant. And let me just finish with a few other places because I've been to, as I said, more than 80 places. It's a bit sad that I didn't mention them all. But I will say here, for instance, I was in Brighton for some time, which was a bit of a challenge.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, but there were great places. I visited Devil's Dyke.
Mm.
Great place. Great pub there, great.
Many devils, many dykes.
Yeah, and where is it? It's another extra lovely footpath you can go to is the Seven Sisters footpath.
Mm.
It's the one with the white chalky cliffs that we see in several movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several stories as to why it was named this way. I think, unless I'm mistaken, one story is that there were seven sisters who committed suicide there. Nasty way to go.
It does sound like an appropriate origin story for the naming of a place.
Yes.
You know, there are places that have this sort of namesake.
Right. And last, I want to say something about a place I want to visit. I want to visit Oban here.
I've heard of Oban.
Yes.
Yeah, good reputation.
I've heard excellent things about it. They told me that especially if you like the seaside, you have to look at, you have to visit it, especially during summer. And of course, I have to, I am a whiskey lover.
I imagine it's quite a harsh environment, to be honest, in a Scottish winter, being in Oban. So yeah, summer would probably be the way.
Yeah, and just because I'm a whiskey lover, I have to end with the Isle of Islay, because that's where, that's the source, that's the fountain where all the smoked ones come from. At least, not all of them, but the best ones.
Yeah, the best smoked whiskey.
Yeah, so I have to go there. It's pilgrimage. Northern pilgrimage.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll go there one day and clink a glass and get quite squiffy. Anyway, well, all right then. I suppose that concludes just about every recommendation that Stelios and I have had between us for the sake of this hour, however long we've been recording. So we do hope that you found some sort of recommendation in there that's either local to where you live or, you know, that you can see some utility for. You know, you can go and make some great memories with your family, with your loved ones in the next year. So from both Stelios and I, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. We also, of course, wish you a very festive New Year, and we look forward to seeing you in the new one. Until then, take care.